With a background in newspapers, including nearly 17 years as the editor of a regional paper, my general philosophy was to give readers as much information as we could and trust that they had the wherewithal to filter out what it was they wanted to read, what it was they thought wasn't important, and what it was they thought was important. And was that successful? Well, you can measure that by circulation, which was creeping up. But of course, they were pre-social media days, and the competition was different. We had competition, but it was different. Welcome. This is the latest episode of Climate Conversations. It's great to have you on board. Climate Conversations is put together here in Shepparton and Northern Victoria, Australia, on the lands of the Yorta Yorta people. Yes, the stolen lands of the Yorta Yorta people. I pay my respects to elders, past, present and emerging. I always forget to mention that I am your host, Robert McLean. Before I started this podcast nearly 3 years ago, I had a blog about the climate crisis. It was difficult to find stories, because that was about 5 years ago. It was difficult to find stories, but they're everywhere now. I'm overwhelmed by them. Stories are coming, colloquially, left, right and centre. And so I feel inadequate, embarrassed almost, that this podcast simply doesn't cover what's really happening. But anyway, I'll have a go. And you can only do what you can from where you are. And so this is me doing what I can from where I am. An example of a story that needs more exposure is one from The Conversation that tells readers, shifting ocean currents are pushing more and more heat into the southern hemisphere's cooler waters. Two authors tell us that oceans absorb more than 90% of all the extra heat trapped by the emissions we've produced by burning fossil fuels. This heat is enormous. It's as if we explode an atom bomb underwater every second of every day. That astounds me. Let's repeat it. An atom bomb underwater every second of every day. You'll find a link to that story from The Conversation in the show notes. The other fact that I'm sure is not understood by most people is the carbon budget. Professor Michael Rowland from Maine University in the US was one of the speakers at the recent Basic Income Earth Network Conference, or Congress, in Brisbane, Australia. He talked about many things, but one of those he did mention was our carbon budget. And he said that, looked at globally, if we are to stay below 1.5 degrees Celsius, each of us, that's people all around the world, can emit only 1 ton of carbon per year. Americans are 20 times that. And Australians, I believe, would be pretty much the same, as we're among the worst. Some people, he pointed out, were below 1 ton so they can increase their emissions and within that, improve their lives. I recorded Professor Rowland's presentation and you'll find a link to that in the show notes. Meanwhile, writing on EcoWatch, Olivia Roseanne tells us that the wealthiest 10% of people are responsible for nearly 50% of greenhouse gas emissions. And that's according to a new study. She says that new study has highlighted the inequality which permeates the climate crisis. The paper, she says, was published in Nature Sustainability and looked at the difference in per capita emissions across the global economic spectrum between 1990 and 2019. She continued, during this time, the top 1% of emitters were responsible for nearly a quarter of all emissions contributing to the climate crisis, and the top 10% are now responsible for nearly half of the total. You'll find a link to that story in the show notes. We've reached the end of this episode of Climate Conversations. Thanks so much for your company. And until we talk again, please take care, stay safe, and please be kind. For everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. And please, if you enjoyed this episode, feel free to share it with your friends. And so, as I said, until we talk again, please take care.